Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm your host, Chris Terracone. Season 8 of Jury Duty explores the trial of Alex Murdoch, a member of one of the most powerful families in South Carolina, who is accused of murdering his son Paul and his wife Maggie, with the purpose of covering up a multitude of alleged crimes, including fraud and homicide. In our last episode, we continued our look at the direct examination of Blanca Simpson, a longtime friend of Maggie Murdoch, who also worked for the Murdoch family. In this installment, we conclude our review of John Medder's direct examination and begin our presentation of Dick Harpootlian's cross of Ms. Simpson. That's all coming up right after the break.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
It is the late morning of February 10th, 2023, day 13 of the trial of Alex Murdoch. As we concluded our last episode, Judge Clifton Newman denied defense attorney Dick Harpootlian's motion for a mistrial, ruling that Blanca Simpson's testimony regarding Maggie Murdoch's expression of anxiety about the financial impact of the lawsuits against her family was in fact admissible under the res justi exemption to the hearsay rule. As we begin this installment, Judge Newman tells the jury that the defense objection has been overruled and allows prosecutor John Medders to ask Ms. Simpson about her last conversation with Maggie Murdoch.
Thank you. The last objection is overruled, and you may proceed.
Ms. Simpson, in the days leading up to the murders of Paul and Maggie Murdoch, based on your time with her, was Maggie Murdoch anxious about anything?
She was concerned about the amount of money that they were requesting on that lawsuit. $30 million is what she told me.
We're going to show you what's marked 29.
Judge Clifton Newman interrupts Mr. Medders.
Pose a question. There's an objection. The court overruled the objection. And do you want the witness to answer the question that you posed?
Yes, sir. I see it.
Well, you posed a question.
Yes, sir. And I thought she had answered. You said she was worried about $30 million. Can you explain that more?
That wasn't your question. That there was an objection to. Do you withdraw the question that you posed prior to the court's ruling on the objection?
No, sir.
Or you forgot the question?
To the world, yes, sir. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, proceed.
What was she anxious about?
She said she knew the amount of money that they were asking, but she felt that Alec was not being truthful to her with regard to what exactly was going on with that lawsuit. She said, he doesn't tell me everything.
Prosecutor John Medders next plays a video on the monitor for Ms. Simpson. It is the video recorded by Paul Murdoch moments before his death, in which we see his dog Cash and hear the voices of a man and a woman in the background of the recording. The video has of course been played by the prosecution for several of the previous witnesses, and each of those witnesses identified the woman's voice as Maggie Murdoch's, and the other man's voice as Alex Murdoch's. After showing the video to Ms. Simpson, Prosecutor Medders asks,
Ms. Blanca, had you seen that before?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you recognize voices on there?
Yes, sir.
Who do you recognize?
It's Paul, Maggie, Alec.
And have previously, have you said in a memo or a memorandum in interview that you thought you may have heard another voice?
Yes, sir, I did, at a distance.
But having listened to it again, have you listened to it this week? I mean, it's not on TV. Have you seen it?
I have. There's only three voices, Alec, Maggie, and Paul.
So after hearing it several times, is that your conclusion?
Yes, sir.
Just a few more questions. Would Miss Maggie Murdoch, did she go down to the kennels at night by herself?
No, sir.
Okay. And you say that emphatically. Why? Do you know that?
She was scared. Okay. It got dark out there.
So would she go down there by herself?
No.
Did she like to go down there when it wasn't dark?
She did.
And did she like playing with the dogs?
She always took the dogs with her.
Which dogs were hers?
Grady and Bubba were always with her.
Okay. So when she was at Edisto, where would Grady and Bubba be?
Sometimes she would take both of them, but the majority of the time, in the last few months, she was alternating. She would take one or if not the other.
Can you tell us about the defendants? Did you ever see him with his cell phone? Alex Murdaugh, did you ever see him use his cell phone?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell the jury his habits with the cell phone? Would he have it a lot? Did he use it a lot?
Yes, sir, he did. He was always on his phone.
Say that again?
He was always on his phone.
But and Paul, were you familiar with his habits as regarding cell phones?
Not the times that he was there at the house, he was always on his phone. If he'd go in the shower or whatever, he'd play his country music on the phone. But that's the extent that I know from what I observed being there in the house.
And when you were on June 8th, and you've talked about it, and I'm not trying to rehash that, but on June 8th of 2021, when you went to clean up the house, is that pretty much what you saw in the bathroom, the pants and the damp towel?
Yes, sir. There was a rug right as you step out of the shower. There was like a slight puddle of water, a towel, a white towel, and then a pair of khaki pants.
You didn't see any bloody clothes or anything like that?
No, sir.
Prosecutor Metters next plays another video recorded by Paul on the day of the murders. Again, this video was played for previous witnesses and shows Alex Murdaugh holding a tree. In the video, Alex has on a blue button-down short-sleeve shirt, khaki pants, and brown loafers.
Is that individual in the courtroom?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is it Alex Murdaugh sitting between Mr. Harper?
Sitting right there. Yes, sir.
And the record is reflecting. Thank you, Judge. Have you ever, ever, ever seen that blue, that shirt again?
No, sir, not to my knowledge.
Have you ever seen these shoes again that he's wearing here?
No, sir.
And the Sperry cloth, you said the Sperry shoes, have you ever seen those again?
No, sir.
That's all. Thank you.
With that, Prosecutor John Metters concludes his direct examination of Blanca Simpson. Defense Attorney Dick Harpootlian rises to begin his cross-examination of the witness.
And my name is Dick Harpootlian, and I represent the man you know as Alex, right?
Yes, sir, I met you before.
I don't think we've ever met before, have we?
Yes, we have.
We've met?
Yes, sir, at the house. Maggie's funeral.
Oh, at Maggie's funeral, yeah. I apologize. A lot of people there that day.
Yes, sir.
Alex has always referred to you when people ask who you are as his friend, correct?
That is correct.
Never called you his housekeeper, right?
That is correct.
He always, when he introduced you as his friend.
That is correct.
Now, you've also, I think, in multiple interviews with Sweat and other folks, described, I think the words were, Maggie was his all. Isn't that what you told Sweat?
Yes, sir.
What does that mean, Maggie was his all?
He adored her. He loved her. He adored her.
Worshipped her. I mean, just treated her as somebody he adored, correct?
Exactly, yes, sir.
Now, I think they also asked you if you ever saw them have any arguments. And
no, I did not ask that objection.
You restate the question, please.
Sweat asked you if you'd ever seen them have any arguments. Don't quite understand the basic objection.
Restate the question. You may respond.
What was the question again, sir?
Did you ever see them have any arguments?
I never saw them have arguments. It was just minor disagreement because of the remodeling.
And I think you cite specifically they had, when you said they had arguments, it was about the paint colors, for instance.
One of them was Maggie was set on getting a certain white, and Alec was saying, just get whatever white, basically. You know, he didn't care. She wanted a specific white, and he just didn't care.
You never saw them have any violent arguments or argue about money or argue about relationships. It was all the minor things that most couples go through, picking paint colors and those kinds of things. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. To some, they would disagree on. It wasn't that they disagreed. The only thing that I remember Maggie saying was that she just wanted him to sit still and listen to her for at least 10 minutes at a time because he was always on the go.
Is that an uncommon complaint between husbands and wives or wives to husbands? I want you to listen to me. Is that right?
She would get frustrated because of that.
Right. Do you ever tell your husband that? Just listen to me. Sit, please.
All the time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Defense Attorney Dick Harpootlian continues his cross-examination by asking Ms. Simpson about her experiences in the time immediately before and after the murders.
Let me talk a little bit about the morning of the 7th.
Yes, sir.
And then the morning of the 8th, because I understand you left before Paul, Maggie, or Alec was on the Moselle property on the 7th, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And we're going to talk about those texts in just a minute between you and Maggie, but you fixed some dinner for them.
I did.
And did you set a table, or did they have to go get their own plates and put them
in? No, I left the food on the stove.
Right. And normally, the next day, the pots would still be on the stove, right?
Yes, sir.
Would they clean up their plates or leave those in the sink, or how would that go?
Sometimes the plates would be in the living room. There was no plates in the living room. They were in the sink.
Okay, when you got there on the morning of the 8th?
The plates were in the sink. They were not in the living room.
Okay, now, are you aware of how many people were in there, how many friends, law partners, his sister, who was in the Moselle house on the night of the 7th?
No, sir.
Okay, if I told you there were 12 to 15 of them, would that surprise you? I mean, Maggie and Paul just killed. Was he very close with his law partners?
Yes, sir.
Okay, his sister, Lynn, do you know Lynn?
I met her at Maggie's when Maggie passed.
Okay. And would it surprise you to know that the,
Prosecutor Metters again objects, this time asserting that Dick Harpootlian is offering testimony rather than asking questions.
Well, I'm going to object.
I'm just going to ask her if she knows, Your Honor.
Well, the objection is sustained. You cannot testify.
Let me make it more general than this. Do you know if anyone that evening of those people moved the food from the stovetop to the refrigerator?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Let's back off just a little bit. You drove over from his mother and father's house, correct?
That is correct.
That morning, the 8th, to Moselle, right?
Yes, sir.
And instead of coming in your normal way, which would have been the entrance by the kennels, where there, did you see all the police down there?
No, sir, I did not.
Okay. You drove up to the main entrance that would go straight up to the house, or if you took a right on that road, you'd end up back down at the kennels, right?
Yes, sir.
And you came up that, were there police around the house up there?
Not around the house.
Okay. Did anyone question whether you should go into the house or not?
No, sir.
Was there anybody in the house other than you?
No, sir. It was me.
So did you find it strange that this was a crime scene?
Objection. Need to hear the question. I'm sorry.
The question would be, did you find it strange there was no law enforcement present at the house that morning?
Question.
Go ahead.
It wasn't strange because there was law enforcement all over on the kennel side. It wasn't strange that they allowed me to go into the house.
Well, let me ask you this. Did anybody from SLED show up while you were there that morning?
I believe there was an officer. I do not recall the officers.
Do you remember somebody coming in to search the house while you were there?
There were several agents that came through.
Right. But you'd been there for a while before they got there?
Yes, sir.
Did they ask you about clothes you'd found, or did they ask you about anything that you found out of the ordinary, anything like that?
I didn't ask any questions. They didn't ask me. They just went about doing what they were doing.
And were they going from room to room? Were they looking for things under the bed? Do you remember?
It appeared that that's what they were doing, sir.
Okay. But that was after you got there and picked up the bathroom, picked up the towel?
No, sir. I hadn't picked up anything at that point because I was still in shock and I was still trying to process what had just happened to my friend.
So they would have seen the khaki pants on the floor.
Objection.
Again, John Metters objects to the defense attorney testifying. This time, Harpootlian quickly rephrases his statement in the form of a question.
Did they go into the bathroom?
I couldn't tell you, sir. The laundry room sits on the other side of the house. And I had to take some time to process what had happened to Maggie and Paul. I know I saw agents that went upstairs to Paul's room. I I saw them walking through the house, sir, but I don't know what they took, what they didn't took. All I can tell you is what I saw when I got there.
Okay. After, while they're there or after they left, is that when you went into the bathroom and saw the khaki pants, somebody taking a shower, there was a towel on the floor, khaki pants on the floor. Was that before or after they left?
Yeah, after.
Okay. So all those items would have been, they would have been there for those folks to see as far as you know.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me ask you a couple of things and about what you saw. They keep showing you this picture by the tree of Alex, and he appears to have on a khaki pair of pants in that picture, correct?
Yes, sir.
And I'm sure he had a number of different pairs of khaki pants. But were those khaki pants similar to the ones he has on in the picture? Could they be the same one?
They could be, but he had several.
Right. And in terms of somebody had taken a shower, it looked like there was water on the floor?
Yes, sir.
Now, did Alex take a number of showers every day? Was he a prolific shower taker?
Not that I'm aware. He would get up in the morning, take a shower, and go to work.
But did he take showers other times during the day?
I wasn't there in the evening hours, so okay. I don't know.
Okay. So, but it wasn't unusual for when you got there to find a towel on the floor and water on the floor from him having taken
that wasn't unusual. No.
Okay. I think that when you were asked about a shirt, and we can pull this if you want to go back to, whether there was a shirt there also, you said you couldn't remember. Is that correct?
With regard to?
Whether there was a shirt with the khakis on the floor. You said I couldn't remember.
I could not remember whether there was a shirt with a khaki pants. All I remember is a white damp towel sitting there.
Okay, and the khaki pants.
Yes, sir.
But you don't remember whether, and I think you told the grand jury, I don't remember whether it was a shirt or wasn't a shirt, correct?
That is correct.
And that's today. You can't tell this jury there wasn't a shirt on the floor. You just can't, you can tell them you don't remember, correct?
What was your question?
You can't tell this jury there wasn't a shirt on the floor because you can't remember whether there was a shirt on the floor or not. Isn't that what you told the grand jury?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we know there's a pair of khaki pants. There may have been a shirt. And those shoes, well, let me ask you this. You know on the night of the 7th?
Yes, sir.
Alec had left, correct? He wasn't there when you got there the next morning?
No, sir. He wasn't there.
Okay. And matter of fact, he never spent another night at Moselle that
no,
you
sir, did. He did not.
Meadors objects on the grounds that the question calls for the witness to speculate. Dick Harpootlian responds.
She knows, Your Honor.
You can answer if you know whether or not he's ever spent another night.
After the murders, did he ever spend another night at Moselle, to your knowledge?
He did not.
So when he left that night, on the night of the 7th, and went to his mother and father's house, you don't know what clothes he took with him, what shoes he was wearing? You have no idea, correct?
That is correct.
And were you aware that Sled had confiscated the clothes that he had on?
At that moment, I didn't.
Okay. Well, you are now.
Yes, sir. I do know now.
Okay. A white T-shirt, pair of shorts that he showed you, and whatever shoes he had on, some sneakers, right?
I didn't see the sneakers, but I saw the clothing items.
Okay. And so he had to put on, if they did that, other clothes to go over to his mother's house, correct?
Objection.
Yet again, Meadors objects that Harpootlian is testifying, and again, the defense attorney rephrases his statement in the form of a question.
Would it stand to reason he'd have to put on other clothes or go in his underwear?
I would assume so, yes.
Okay. Do you know what he wore over to his mother's house?
No, sir.
Do you know whether he wore those shoes?
No, sir.
You don't know. So when
objection to objection.
Meadors rises for the first in a series of objections.
Basis for the objection. To which question?
To that last one, shoes. I don't know what specificity he says to those shoes. I don't know what he's.
I'm sorry. The shoes that you say you saw in the Snapchat photo, you say you never saw again, right?
That is correct.
Okay, you don't know whether he wore those shoes the night of the 7th over to his mama's house, do you?
I don't know that. I wasn't okay. There.
You don't know what he wore over there, correct?
That's correct. I wasn't there.
He may have even worn that shirt that you said you never saw again, correct?
Objection.
Objection's overruled.
Right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, if somebody alleged that those khaki pants were what Alex was wearing the night of...
I'm going to object.
I need to hear the question.
I can't finish the question. I'm sorry, Your Honor. Let me state this. If somebody were to say that Alec Murdaugh, as ridiculous as it sounds, was wearing those khaki pants when he...
Objection.
Objection sustained.
Let me put it this way. Did you see any blood on those khaki pants?
No, sir.
He washed them, right?
Yes, sir.
Did you put anything on them to get blood stains out? I mean, would there be...
Are you being said that I removed blood stains off of khaki pants?
I'm asking you rhetorically. I'm asking you, did you see any blood stains?
There appeared to be no blood stains on those pants.
Okay. And in the bathroom, did you see any bloody footprints?
I did not.
Did you see any blood on that towel?
No, sir.
Did you see anything indicating to you there'd been anybody wearing bloody shoes or washing blood off or anything that would indicate that somebody, after a murder, had gone back to that room, changed clothes, covered in blood, took a shower and changed clothes? Did you see anything that would indicate that?
Objection overruled.
Go ahead.
This is the first time that I have ever been in a situation where somebody was murdered.
Right.
I didn't know, as far as what you're asking me, if there was anything bloody in there. No, it did not appear to be anything bloody in there.
Did you clean the shower that day?
Yes, sir. I rinsed it off.
You rinsed it off. Nobody told you not to rinse off the shower?
No, sir.
And again, nobody from SWED, as that group went through, asked you, you know, did you see bloody footprints? Did you see any evidence that there was anything bloody in that bathroom? Did anybody ask you that?
No, sir.
And your testimony is those khaki pants were there after SWED left?
Yes, sir.
And maybe even a shirt you can't remember?
Yes, sir, possibly a T-shirt, but I did not see it. I don't remember.
Okay, you don't remember what kind of shirt, if there was a shirt.
Without objection.
The objection is overruled.
Dick Harpootlian appears to be flustered for a moment by the frequent objections from Mr. Metters.
Thank you. Do you remember, you know, I'm doing like Mr. Metters now, I forgot the question. But let me see if I can get this back on track. These interruptions are getting me a little askew. Now, let me talk a little bit about the cell phone service in Moselle. You had a cell phone?
Yes, sir.
And the servicer was who? What was it, Verizon?
The cell phone carrier is Verizon, yes, sir.
Okay. And so did you ever have any trouble getting a signal anywhere on the Moselle property, up at the house, down at the dog kennels? Was it sporadic?
Yes, sir, it was.
Okay. And sometimes you'd be talking to somebody, and they'd drop off. The call would end, not because you ended it, but because the service was bad.
Yes, sir. If you were moving around in the house, certain areas, you could not get a signal.
What about down from the kennels?
It was touch and go in the kennels. Once you got signal, you better stay where you were at, because if you moved, you were going to lose your signal.
Okay. So it would not be unusual at the kennels, if you did move, that if you were having a conversation or getting text or trying to answer a text, you wouldn't be able to do so.
Like I said, it depends on where you were. You kind of knew the areas. At least for me, I already knew that if I had to make a call or send a text, I would walk out the kitchen door straight to the edge of the corner right there on the porch and make my call and not move. If not, I would lose the call or I would not be able to make my call.
What about at the kennel?
Kennels, like I said, it depends on the area where you were at. And once, basically everybody, we all kind of knew that if you moved out of a certain area and went to another, you were going to lose signal.
Okay. Now, at the kennel, do you know what area you could get a call, keep that? I mean, you just talked about up at the house, there was a sweet spot, if you'll.
Yes, sir.
Pardon my language. Was there a sweet spot down at the kennel, or do you know?
I'm not sure at the kennels, but I do remember Mr. CB saying that the signal out there was horrible for making calls or getting calls.
Or sending texts or getting texts.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Let me talk to you a little bit about this conversation in August of 21, after the murders.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Alec came over and was inquiring of you what shirt he had on that day, correct?
It didn't feel like he was inquiring. It felt more like he was trying to convince me of the shirt that he was wearing.
Did he tell you that he just finished?
Objection.
Metters forcefully objects to Harpootlian's asking the witness about something the defendant said, apparently anticipating that any such testimony would be hearsay evidence.
Sorry, I'm just asking if he told you something.
Objection.
Cross-examination.
You're not objecting to hearsay for the record.
I need to hear the question. Number two is cross-examination. Go ahead.
Did he tell you that he just finished
meeting?
There is a smattering of nervous laughter in the courtroom at Prosecutor Metter's repeated and now forceful objections.
Do you want me to pose the question, Your Honor, or not?
All right. I'm going to send the jury to the jury room. Please do not discuss the case.
With Judge Clifton Newman's decision to address the prosecutor's pattern of objections outside the presence of the jury, we bring to a close this episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Alex Murdoch. Please join us on our next installment as we review how Judge Newman addresses the prosecution's repeated objections, and as we conclude our look at the testimony of Blanca Simpson. Also, check out the Crime Story podcast, Night Raid, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you'd like to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, head over to our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You can find more information about this trial on our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page or at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created and produced by Carrie Antholis. It was co-produced, written, and edited by yours truly, Chris Terracone. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio. Trial audio is courtesy of Law & Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty.